So we are moving further. UNWTO, which is United Nations World Tourism Organization, as I mentioned, now called UN Tourism, it defines tourism as it comprises the activities of a person traveling to and staying in places outside their usual environment for not more than one consecutive year for leisure, business, and other purposes. The moment you complete the year, you turn to be the resident of that country. An example could be a lot of Indians working in Gulf, in Singapore, in US, in various countries where they have gone for an employment and they are staying there for more than 1 year, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. Some of them are staying for second and third generation, still retaining their Indian passport. They are all the resident and not tourists because they have stayed there for over 1 year. Now, features of UNWTO, the UN tourism definition of tourism. Let's start counting on that. Same-day visitors, other visitors are part of the market. It is not mandatory or compulsory to have the overnight stay. Once again, mind it, overnight stays are not. They are same-day visits. Okay. Then the total market includes travel for leisure or pleasure. It includes travel for business. And quite a few of them are counted here for social activities, for religious activities, for education, like student go on higher learning in US, in UK, in Australia and New Zealand universities, for sports like we go for World Cup football or we go for World Cup, T20 World Cup and so on and so forth, and other purposes, providing that destination of travel is outside the usual routine and places of residence and work. So quite a few explanations that I've been talking in the previous slide take into consideration from this particular slide. It explains in detail who are defined as tourists and what is the definition of tourism by UN Tourism. Now, UNWTO tourism, once again, features are all tourism have a travel component. Yes, in tourism, you take up travel. Could be anything. Could be by flight, could be by ship, could be by train, could be by bus. Yes, all that is tourism. But all travelers are not necessary for tourism. You're going to meet your friend who is in Dubai, who is in Bangalore, then that's not tourism. You have just gone to see them as a friend. Something you are attending as a procession going on there or some particular rituals are happening. So you are not a tourist. So it excludes all the routine commuting type travel such as local travel to the workplace and birth. So we take up, especially Mumbaiites are famous for taking long journey from their residence to place of work. We have accounted travelers who come in daily basis from Pune, from Nashik, and from Surat daily. That's why those trains like Deccan Queen from Pune, Flying Rani from Surat, and Panchvati coming in from Nashik, they bring in travelers or passengers on a daily basis. They come by 11:30, 12, 11 o'clock in the morning, and they return by 6:30. They are not called as a tourist. Yeah. So they come and travel locally, workplace, and purely local travel, such as going to the nearby shop, schools, or hospitals. Not necessarily, we counted on quite a lot of it, that local travel happens in a big way. We have people coming in from Virar, we have people coming in from Washi, people on the harbour coming from Panvel or on the Central Railway, all the way from Dombivli, Ambernath, on a daily basis to the Mumbai city and go back in the evening to their residence. So quite an understanding in difference between tourism and travel. So that's why the definition says that travel is part of an international or tourism, but all travel is not tourism. I hope this explains to you in detail. So prerequisites of international travel, we have spoken on this. Let's count on this. Important thing is the passport. Now, I don't know to what extent passport explanation is correct. They say P-A-S-S, that's pass, and P-O-R-T, port. So passage to the port, which were seaports earlier, that's why you call it airport, differentiating between the seaport and... This is one of the possible explanation that passport word came in, the passage to the port, and this became passport. A passport is a formal legal document. Yes? It's a legal document. It tells you, as citizen of a country, if you read your passport, India's passport, it identifies you, it's issued on behalf of the president of India, the highest ranking. And it requests, please provide and help the holder of this passport to travel freely. So it tells you that you are citizen of India, passport, the blue color passport that I'm talking. It's a formal legal document that enables a citizen of a country to enter and exit the country and is issued by authorized official of the nation. When we talk of an authorized nation official in our country, though TCS, Tata Consultancy Services, are the handling agency, the authority that issues the passport is still the passport offices around the world. The authority that issues. Tata Consultancy Services are the handling agencies to complete the paperwork. The final authority and the stamp issued is by the passport office. Like internationally, this is to be borne in mind, my dear student, that internationally passports are issued by respective consulate, high commissioners, and embassies in foreign country. So a child is born or a passport is due for renewal in UAE that was issued in Trivandrum need not come to Trivandrum for renewal. It can be renewed if the holder of the passport is staying in Jeddah. So it could go to Indian consulate in Jeddah. Or if it is done in Kigali in Rwanda. Now, Rwanda is a Commonwealth country. So the high-ranking official, diplomatic official is High Commissioner. It has to go to High Commissioner office for renewal. Otherwise, it's practically impossible to send and expect the passport to come all the way from Kigali to any respective office. It would be not only delayed, but certain obligations will not be able to meet. So understand that passports are issued by an authorized official of the nation. Domestically, this is the passport offices around India, and internationally, consulate, high commissioner, or the embassies. A valid passport issued by the intended visitor's home country or country of origin is necessary to engage in foreign travel. So you need to have a passport. Without passport, you cannot land in a foreign country, even if visa is issued to your arrival. For example, Nepal, for example, Maldives, they give you visa on arrival. For example, Indonesia, just picking up certain example that is coming to my mindset. So there also you need to have a passport, and the validity of that passport should be minimum 6 months or more. So for example, if you would like to travel in 2024, you should have your passport valid until November or December of 2024. Then you can travel in May. It should be December, 6 months. Okay? I hope this clears into your mindset. Now, we pick up a visa. Now, visitor, visa stands for V-I-S-A, visitor. international stay admission. Visitors, international stay admission. In its full form, a visa is a type of endorsement that allows the holder of the passport to travel to the nation that issued it. I count on this. Various type of visas are now issued, but many countries have different format. Some were earlier using rubber stamp. Some were putting up a sticker. Some were putting as a printed on your passport itself with a ghost picture of yours being transferred onto that page. In many cases, many years back, you were issued a visa. With that, you travel to the country. But that's almost in the digital age now, is almost disappeared. You don't travel with a visa in hand anymore now. I don't remember any country would be doing that. But you get e-visa. That means your approval has been granted. You showed that e-visa approval. And upon landing in a specific country that has issued e-visa, you will allow entry. One point to be remembered, my dear student, visa issuance, and this is written in a fine print on any visa form, especially of certain countries that have this particular authority. It says, issuance of visa does not mean entry into a country. So if someone who has a visa, say a US visa, this is just an example, and he travels to New York, and the immigration officer, upon questioning you, talking to you, learns that the way you are communicating or the way that you have explained the issuance of visa that has been done to you is suspicious, he or she would refuse you an entry. And he or she is fully authorized to do that. Many of us don't know this, and they say, visa lag gaya now, I can go. No, they have all the right, and there are cases where people holding visas upon arrival and at the questioning of immigration officers, they found you as a security threat or not answering the question that were tossed to you by the immigration officer, not properly answered. They have all the authority to deport you back. So that is an extreme scenario, but must be borne in mind. In case if it comes to you, someone saying, I had a visa, but I was not taken into the country. I was sent by the same flight that I landed, and I had to come back. Yes, they have all the authority to do that. So who issues the visa? The destination embassy. Example, you are going down to Uzbekistan, Tashkent. So Uzbekistan embassy in Delhi would issue you, or a high commission. Kenya, for example. Kenya was a Commonwealth country. The diplomatic relations between India and Kenya are on the status of high commissioner. They're called high commissioner. They are also ambassadors, but it has a different definition, and they're called high commission. Or the consulate. For example, U.S. embassy in Delhi, and U.S. consulate in Mumbai. So embassies are always in the capital of a country. So in our case, all embassies, all are in Delhi. They cannot have embassy in the city like Mumbai, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Chennai. No. They will all have embassies in Delhi and consulate in respective cities. So they will have consulate possibly in Chennai. They would have a possibly consulate in Bangalore or in Mumbai. And again, you must know that many consulates and embassies have appointed VFS Global as a point of contact to process the visa. And many a time it is not necessary for you to go for an interview. All the paperwork is being obtained through VFS Global, very much like Tata Consultancy Services. In extreme cases, you are called. Most of the cases, nothing of that sort happens. So the approval can appear on a paper. I've already explained this point to you. It can come on a paper of your passport will be stamped on you or to be sent electronically of an e-visa, like for example, Singapore. Most of us, when you go to Singapore, when you apply for an e-visa for Singapore, you get an e-visa sent to you, or Cambodia or Vietnam. Sorry, Cambodia gives you visa on arrival. So wherever it is applicable, it has to be understood in that contact. And whether you get these details, go down to the respective embassy and consulate explaining all this. We move to our next topic of scope and importance of tourism. And in this topic, we will be talking about purpose of tourism, scope as a scope of tourism. Why do people travel? What are the personal purposes and organization of tour, which is an element from the supply chain, or an expert sitting in a travel agency? How do you organize that? A financial outlet. Yes, you have to exhibit. You are going to a foreign land. You have to show exactly your financial stability. And then responsibility therein, security and other precautions. Mind it, to go to another country as a tourist, it is that country that you travel has all the right to welcome you or to refuse you, because it's not our country. We are okay in our country as resident, as citizen of India, but it is not our right to go to US and demand for a visa. No, it is for them to decide and approve your visa or reject your visa. Quite a few of people have been watching this. A lot of rejection of visas do happen. You have an option of counseling, but again, after second application, also if visa is canceled, none can challenge them, why did you refuse? If they have some security reason, possibly they may not share you. They may not share it with you. So remember, your international travel depends on processing of your visa and approval based on security and other precautions of the country that you are applying to travel. And this is an area that has to be borne in mind. There are a lot of people whose Schengen visa, Australian visa, Canadian visa, UK visa, US visa have been rejected a number of times. And sometimes they may not give reason. They have no reason to give you reason. They'll say, no, we cannot give you visa. We have our own reasons and you cannot challenge. Yes, financially, if they say, oh, you have not sufficient bank balance, you can always say, yes, now I have a deposit, and so on and so forth. So I'm not going into detail of the handling of visa scenario, but it has to be borne in mind. Then the importance of tourism-related aspects are excellent outlet for relaxation. Now, what is the scope and importance? First of all, people find it is an excellent outlet for relaxation. You are routine with a particular type of day-to-day activities, where you go from your place of work to your home, and from home, next day you go again to place of work, whereas for some time as a relaxation, you would like to have a peaceful mind. So in travel tourism, you find relaxation in form of motivation for employees. Now this refers to business travelers. Business travelers like to go for motivational activities for incentivizing them for the wonderful work that they would have done, to motivate them to put all heads together and form the way to go and the growth. Share their stories of success so that others, the other employees, also get motivated, and it is resulted into various supporting industries that emerge. And when we talk of supporting industries that emerge, it is believed that, and it has been mentioned by authorities, that if visa process becomes simpler, easier, then anything from 7 million, from 5 million to 7 million new jobs will arise out of the relaxation of visa issuance. Yes. So other job opportunities will come up. I mentioned anything from 5 to 7 million new jobs will come up. Visa formalities are relaxed. Also, tourism helps in foreign exchange earning. So international tourists who come in as an inbound tourist, he would have bought his airline ticket, hotel stay, city tour, shopping in a country that he has come or she has come in, would result into earning foreign exchange. They would be exchanging, they would be swiping their international credit card. All this would increase foreign exchange earning for a country. That also contributes to the GDP. I've highlighted this, that certain country depend anything from 20 to 60% of their revenue coming from GDP. Country like Monaco, country like Bahama, Jamaica in Caribbean, and Monaco in Europe, they surely look forward to tourists to come into their country because their earning and their revenues added to the GDP is anything from 50 to 70%. The least I can mention here, country like Thailand gets about 17% of the GDP coming in from tourism. So the importance of tourism has now created awareness in many countries, and they have found it as a foreign exchange source of earning, which every country looks forward for. Then it preservation of history and heritage, of course. Then we have like Archaeological Survey of India, we have got National Heritage Society and many international organizations that are working, not to forget UNESCO, of course. They are preserving the history and heritage of a specific country. Like we have got in Mumbai, two sites, like Municipal Corporation Building and the Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj Terminus at the fourth area are supported by international UNESCO. And likewise, we have got protection, as I mentioned, from Archaeological Survey of India. These are all serving as preserving the heritage and the history of our country. Then it becomes a national pride. Yeah. And also with the help of cultural exchange of different format. For example, group of tourists coming to India from Pakistan, very recent news. They've come to visit Ram Mandir in Ayodhya. A group of 250 plus tourists have come very recently in the last 2-3 days to visit Ram Mandir. Likewise, a group of Sikh pilgrims go down to Pakistan to visit Kartar Singh. That's another place where cultural exchange keep happening. A lot of cultural shows happen, group of students, group of artists, performing artists come here. Many come here to look at our Baisakhi, many come here to look at our Sankrant festival, many come to look at our Durga Puja, Ganesh Visarjan activity, and educational field, a lot of cultural exchange of students happen. Like we bring in students from third world country to see how India has grown, we educate them. These are all part of growth for tourism industry, support to the other industry that I counted on. So quite a scope and importance of tourism is existing there. And if you remember, my dear student, I said in the beginning that tourism is quite a wide canvas to understand. And travel is the nitty-gritty of tourism, where you sell few things, you buy few things, you arrange for certain things. That is part of travel. Whereas understanding tourism is a major canvas, a bigger canvas, a huge horizon to understand. Yeah, you need to be visionary. And that's what I'm trying to add to your knowledge. Once again, I'm Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah, and we continue learning on to other motivation that I spoke of. So quite a few of these I've spoken for travel and tourism. And quite a few of them are here. It increases trade and commerce. It stands us in a different country as our prestige. and enjoyment of nature, yes. Great number of tourists who come to India go to Taj Mahal, and that's an enjoyment for them, because many staying outside India, for them it is, oh, I should go and see Taj Mahal. All the dignitaries who come here, high-ranking presidents, prime ministers coming in from different countries, would like to visit Taj Mahal. Like I mentioned, now a group of Pakistanis have come in to visit Ram Mandir, and they have been issued visa for that particular purpose of coming to India to visit Ram Mandir. The Hindus I'm talking about, 250 of them as a group. Likewise, I was mentioning about Sikh going down to Nankana Sahib, which is the birthplace of Guru Nanak in Pakistan. A jatha or a group of people go down every year for celebration of Guru Nanak's birthday in Pakistan, the birthplace of Guru Nanak Jing. So, lot of such things I've mentioned. People go for business visit, MICE, where activities are happening as a MICE get together. It also helps us to understand ethnic and family reason. People living in Canada who have gone there two or three generations before come here for looking for their family tree or ethnic relationship. For example, good number of Jews from Mumbai or India as such, from Kochi, some from Ratnagiri, Marathi-speaking Jews, and Jews from Mumbai who came in from Iraq as Bani Ira, have gone down to Israel. Many of them come back to India to look for their family tree and go visit the graveyards, which is near Mahalakshmi Jacob Circle, or some of them go to the synagogues that were built by their forefathers, like David Sossen Synagogue and Jacob and Eli Kaduri. All these are the places in Mumbai. Where is the ethnic and family reasons people come and visit here? People from Malaysia, Tamilians who have migrated, come down to South India to look and visit those temples. Likewise, many people from Sikh community, what we call is Sikh Sardars, they are resident and holders of Canadian passport. They come to Amritsar, Golden Temple as a visit. So these are all ethnic and activities, motivational activities that support travel and tourism, cultural exploration and discovery. Yes, we have some culturally different, we have some of the very nice understanding of India in international market. People come and look for that. And sports, health, I mentioned about sport, football, World Cup cricket, World Cup hockey, Olympic game, world football, various sports activities. We do travel, and do many people come from other countries to India on sports. We come, I mentioned about health. People come here for good number of health reasons, for their medical treatment. Likewise, on international platform, people travel from India to US for specific cancer treatment. And so many of them travel for pleasure, relaxation, religious reason. I counted a couple of things in religious travel. People go down to Amritsar. People go down to Nankana Sahib. People go down to Mecca and Medina for Hajj. These are all chapters of pilgrimage tourism. So quite a big support as a motivation. And all this is part of motivation, travel, and tourism. A few of the different parameters that we are talking in domestic, it depends on destinations. So, in international travel, domestic and versus international, once again, we have spoken on to this, different parameter destinations. When you travel within India, it's a domestic tourism. There are limited travel formalities. You can travel either on your Aadhaar card, your voter ID, your driving license.
don't have to exhibit your passport for a domestic tourism.
Likewise, language formality, we are comfortable with English or Hindi. Majority of the Indians do speak in Hindi. If not, if you go to South, like to Tamil Nadu, you are comfortable with English language, or you go to Karnataka, still, if you find it difficulty, you can use English. So language formalities are not very much. Currency difference. Now, destinations, I mentioned, in comparison versus domestic and international, destination could be across the borders. Travel formalities, I mentioned about Aadhaar card, voter's ID, okay to travel domestically, internationally. You need a passport. Language formalities, when you travel internationally, you need to have basic knowledge of English, communication knowledge. You don't have to be speaking flowery language. You don't need that. But if you are communicating sensibly, people will understand, will not bring any difference or difficulty for you. Currency, yes, you travel with foreign currency. Even our plastic cards or plastic money that we use in form of credit card will be swiped in a foreign currency. You are paying for something in Singapore, then it will be swiped in Singapore dollar. Likewise, if you are in UK, it will be swiped in the UK pound. And likewise, though there is a currency difference. And cultural variations happen. This is very important to be borne in mind, that cultural difference can lead to great misunderstanding. So what is the best thing, advice to the tourists, is respect the local culture. Nobody forces you to adopt their culture, but you should show respect, and so on and so forth. Cost of tourism, yes. Domestic tourism, not necessarily be cheaper than international travel. Yes, my dear student, traveling from Trivandrum to Singapore with a, traveling from Trivandrum to Male or Chennai to Colombo would be cheaper than flying from Trivandrum to the northeastern Ladakh or traveling from Chennai all the way to Srinagar. Both are domestic and international, but international Chennai-Colombo will be cheaper than going Chennai-Srinagar and staying. Yes, please note that. So cost of tourism, generally it is believed, domestic travel can be cheaper, yes. If you go by train, stay at zero-star, no-star hotel, you will find it, cost of tourism compared to international, cheaper than that. And of course, affordability, which I have counted on. So domestic is affordable. International, for many of us, is not affordable, especially travel to Australia, travel to US, travel to Europe. It would be anything 1.5 lakh to 3 lakh, depending on what type of services you take.